Speaking of Marks, I appreciate Brother Mark for coming on up last week and taking care of the pulpit for us. I haven't heard the message yet. Is it up there? Oh. No, I appreciate that. You know, it's a blessing to be able to have people in the church that can fill in for you when you're gone so other things can happen. That's a blessing to have. Mark chapter 1. Let me stop talking and let me get there. Mark chapter 1, verse 29, which says, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." Now again, we see a lot of things going on here. And I hate to take a very broad view of it, but sometimes that's exactly what you should be paying attention to. I would love to sit there. You could probably do a whole series of messages out of just this one thing. But what I get out of this, in the very broadest of sense, is that everybody loved Jesus when he was healing. Everybody loved the miracles that he could perform. Everybody would travel for miles to see him, to be touched by him, to have the effect that he would have on their immediate needs. But much later on, we would see how easily they would forsake him when it came down to a change that needed to be made in their lives. They were okay with a man that could, you know, help my leg to feel better. They were okay with a man that could cast the demon out of my child. But they were not okay with a Christ that would need to die on the cross for their sins. And many of us, I hate to say it, it's possible for a Christian to fall into the same kind of a problem where we love going to church. We love when our church friends and family pray for us. We love to see the Lord work in things. We love to hear the wonderful things that are being done. But when it comes down to actually letting Jesus into our own hearts and homes. Well, brother, wait a minute. If I'm saved, he's in my heart. Yeah. But how many of us have doors we don't let him in? Peter let him in the house. All these other people, they came to get the effect. Peter brought him to the house. How many of us bring him to our house? I mean, you don't get much more personal than your house, do you? If I were to say, all right, the whole church is coming on over, how nervous would you be? Now, many of us, we would be concerned, right? When we were leaving, me, I was just glad to get out the door for camp. I was glad to get out the door. Danielle was like, okay, the stove needs to be cleaned and this needs to be happening and that. And then her big thing was the stove because Brother Dennis was coming over to take care of our dog. Sure enough, it is. If you don't understand the story of how we had to come home early, we got home at 2:30 in the morning. We could not get a hold of Dennis to warn him that we were coming. It was a very scary situation. I'm like, all right, I've offended this brother. I've inconvenienced this brother. That's where my mind is. Guess where Sister Roland first went? To that stove, just to double check how bad it was. That's how we are. We think about the we don't want people to come in. We don't want people to see all of the things. Come on into my house, but see everywhere where the door don't open it. Right? You see this room? There's nothing there. Forget it. Isn't this a two-bathroom house? No, it's a one. For today, it's a one-bathroom house. Because that's the only one I could get the kids' stuff out of. That's a one bed. In our hearts, that's the way we love Jesus in our hearts. We love our salvation. We love an eternity. But when it comes down to every facet of our lives, we shut the door. We stop them. Why? Because we, like the lost, we love the effect. We love how great he is in our lives. We love the big stuff. Oh, but don't trouble me for the small stuff. I'll come to Peter's door, but I am not going to follow you out to the desert. I'm not going to sit out in the hot sun and hear you preach. I'm not going to follow you when there's all this persecution on you. I would dare say that there's many a Christian out there that's more of a fair weather friend than a true friend of Christ. As we go on there, we see everybody here, they're willing to come out and travel for a long time. Well, who's the first one that we see healed? This mother-in-law. And don't you think that's awfully nice? There's many a man that would have sat there and said, oh, she's sick. We'll tell her we're praying for her. Come on, Jesus, let's go. All right, some of you aren't laughing, and I understand why. It's fine. But no, very first one to be healed is this mother-in-law. Deep, personal. And in each and every one of us, that's how it starts. The Lord heals us. Not just of our hurt, not of our sorrow, not of our broken this or that. But He heals the worst thing about us, and that is the fact that we're lost. He saves our soul. It's a very personal thing. And we're glad for that, aren't we? We're happy, we're jumping, we praise the Lord, we shout, we get into church, we walk the aisle, we get into the baptistry, we're excited. We're the first ones to say amen. We're the first ones to sit there and say, well, let's pray about it. When you get that fresh zeal, it's nice. But there's more. There's more. And of course, as other people see the difference in you, they are driven to be the same. Well, oh, man, you're awfully happy. What coffee shop do you go to? You seem awfully excited. What psychiatrist do you have? Because I need to have whatever you're having. What dealer do you have? What is it that you've put into your water? What vitamins, what minerals, what are you taking that's making you this way? Because I want to be that way. And we explain to them what? I believe Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for my sins. I repented of those sins and I trusted Him as my Savior. And you know what? They might follow you for a little while. Lord might even save some folks because of your testimony. Right? And we rejoice in that. But many people, they'll see, well, that's not the healing I want. The healing I want is where I can stay doing exactly the same thing, making zero changes whatsoever, not ever having to experience sorrow. I don't want it. And we understand that. They're lost. But what can be said of us when we have seen the miracle that God has wrought in our lives and we do not follow Him the way that we should? Again, we're happy for the miracle. We're happy for the healing. But where is the devotion that sticks, the devotion that makes us follow? We'll even pray for each other, won't we? Pray for our family members. Pray for things to get done. I rejoice in prayer requests where we pray together. And all of a sudden, we've had this a few times. Went past one the other day as I was going through the list of answered prayers where we got together. We prayed for somebody who got a bad test, got a bad result on their test. And when they went back to the doctor said, we can't find it anymore. And we celebrated about that. That's great. That's wonderful. We love the big things. When a family is struggling at home and they apply the Word of God to the problem, they say, hey, Pastor, give us some verses, give us some advice here. And they sit down and they apply the things of God to their lives. And all of a sudden the problem gets fixed because that's the way the Lord works. We get happy about that. Praise the Lord for that. When people walk the aisle and those that are under discipline, they come back and we vote to have them reinstated. We get excited about that. Why? Because God sure is good when He works for us. And there's nothing wrong with rejoicing about that. We're supposed to rejoice on that. But we can never forget. We can't ever forget that it goes deeper than that. Our love for God must go deeper than just what He can give to us. I had an uncle like that. Breeze into town with a pocket full of money, right? You'd go to give him a hug. He'd put a $5 bill in your hand. All right. He'd take you to the store. He'd take you to get a big old thing to drink. He'd buy you candy. Every time we went, we always got the bestest of things. And even though Mom would say no ice cream, you better believe we got ice cream, and not just a kid's share, an adult's share of ice cream. Spoiled as rotten. And then he'd disappear for 2 or 3 years, come right on back. And there'd be all the good things again, right? The toys, the fun, the hanging out well past what Mom was comfortable with. And he was the, like I call him, the fun uncle, right? That's your fun uncle. But then what would he do again? He'd disappear. disappeared on me for about 10 years once I became an adult, right? Shows up again. Guess what he is to my boys? He's the fun uncle again. The fun uncle rides again with the trips to the Slurpees and the this and the that and all such a... But don't you understand that relationships go deeper than the things? Now that's a carnal relationship. That's a familial relationship. What about when we treat the relationship that we have with God like that? Even in our prayers, Lord, give me this and give me that and give me this. Lord, give me that and give me this. And I need four of those in Jesus' name. Amen. And there's no praise in our prayer anymore. Forgive me, give me, amen. No talking to him about thanksgiving. No praising him. No asking him for advice. No asking him to help you to grow. Just give me. Now, we're supposed to bring our petitions to him. That's true. But again, it's like I keep saying, there is more than just the giving. More than just the healing. It's about more than just that. You ought to have a conversation that befits a relationship with God. We cannot fail him in that way. Cannot just come to him like one who set up shop in this house. And we can go and we can get the things that we want. Because I'll tell you what, the Lord is good. He does care about our family members. He does care about us. And he does care about our situations. We see here that not only did he heal the sick, but he cast out the demons. And not just cast out the demons, but cast them out and didn't let them say anything. Why? Because Jesus kind of had a timeline, didn't he? You see that revealed, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody. So those demons, he didn't let them say a word. Now, I've never seen this, which means that in this particular case, there's not much I could do. And by the way, there's not much anybody can do without Christ in this situation. This was an impossible situation. And not only did he do something impossible, but he did it in a way to where they couldn't even speak. Didn't let them speak, just cast them out. We have a lot of difficult situations. We covered that not last week, but the week before when the Lord cast out that demon. That we have a lot of impossible situations. Now, how am I supposed to fix this? This is unfixable. Or there's this person that's acting so wild. And of course, we know demon possession and the hard things in our lives are not easily comparable, but the comparison's there. To them, it's impossible. To us, there's a lot of impossible things. Right? I sat there, I saw a commercial today for Governor Whitmer. Oh, man. You guys might not have known this, but up here, half our stores got shut down. And when I say half our stores, I mean half of the store. Couldn't buy seeds, couldn't buy shovels, couldn't buy anything other than what Governor Whitmer said would be safe for us to buy. And I sit there and you look at that, and of course you ask me, I do believe that the devil is pulling the strings in a lot of our politicians. I do believe a lot of them are possessed, not in the way that we would see them here, but possessed in a more controlled, more dignified, more put together kind of a way. And I look at that and I say, oh, how on earth could we reelect somebody like this? I hope we don't. But you know what? The Lord's in charge of these kind of conditions. And I can come to him and I say, Lord, if you don't cast them out and you let them do what they're supposed to do, I know that it's your will and I'm going to keep doing what you've told me to do regardless. We can have that peace, and that's wonderful. That nobody else has that. I tell you what, you talk to some of these liberal demon-possessed people out there. When Trump got in and the crying and the boo-hooing and the whining, they didn't have the hope that we've got. We can sit there and look who we got in the White House right now and say, all right, Lord, I don't know what your plan is. It's getting scary, but I trust you. And whether it gets worse or whether it gets better, I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. They don't have that. We do. And again, we should praise the Lord. We should be excited when the Lord can work in the impossible and do the impossible. We ought to get excited about that. But again, we got to circle back. If we know him, and we love him, and we're willing to have him touch our infirmities and fix the day-to-day problems. Lord, please help me change the tire. Lord, please help me find the money. Lord, please help me find a job. If we're willing to go to Him for all those things, the door must be all the way open for all the other things. Lord, don't just heal my limp. Don't just heal my migraine. Don't just heal this or that. But Lord, heal my sin nature a little bit. Lord, heal my sin. Help me be strong in that. Help me to say no. Give me the resolve. Give me the strength to not have any door that I don't open. Danielle got a text message this morning. For some reason, my phone slipped away. Well, guess what? We found it. We did. Yeah, amen. Camp director said, I don't know where he said, he just said he found it somewhere out in the camp. And I said, well, that's wonderful, because I thought maybe I lost it somewhere out in the camp, and that's exactly where you found it. Okay. I did this thing one year. We were at camp. We had about 200 people there. And Brother Bush asked me to come up and do a small little thing on social media. And I did this, and I put some money on the pulpit. And I said, I would like to see anybody in 10 seconds bring me their phone unlocked and let me go through with it right here in front of this microphone. Well, I got 5 or 6 phones, but none of them were within 10 seconds. Want to know why? They were composing symphonies on the things, just... I've often found that if anybody has any shame anymore, it has something to do with what they're hiding on their phones or in their basements or in the back shed or in their history so far back nobody can remember. Everybody's got their secrets, but nobody wants to get rid of them. Nobody wants to get rid of them. I sat there and I went on with this lesson that I was teaching, talking about all the different things that how all these different social media sites are designed and what they can do to you and how they're designed to do things to you. And I had person after person come up and say, "All right, how do I control it?" You know what I told them? Here's what you do: you poke the icon and you hold your finger there until the uninstall button shows up. You uninstall it. And that was their testimony. Oh, I spend hours on the thing. How do I restrict that? Uninstall it. Right? How about this one? My wife has a password on her phone. I have a password on my phone. We have the exact same password. She can get onto my phone whenever she wants. I can get onto her whenever I want. And that's not restriction, that's trust. You know why she can have trust in me? Because she can get on that phone whenever she wants. She doesn't have to worry about me. And the same thing for her. Trust. Nothing to hide, because there's nothing there to hide, right? And that must be every corner of our hearts. Right, so many of us, yes, Lord, please come on in. I want you to heal my parenting. I want you to heal the way that I act in this situation. I want you to, I've got a really bad cough. I got coronavirus last week. I want you to help me in these things here. But do not come back here with what I do on the television, what I do with my friends on a Friday night, Lord, this unforgiveness that I've got, this root of bitterness. Don't go over there, because that's mine. Don't heal that part. Heal the parts I don't want anymore. When Jesus, I don't see much of a conversation here between Jesus and Simon's wife's mother. You know what I see? He reached down, he grabbed her. And up she got. You know what I like about her? If I'm sick and I'm starting to feel better, I might want the night to relax, right? Not her. She got up. She started ministering to him. All right, has bacon, eggs. Let's get some barbecue going. Start taking care of them. That's how well he healed her. She didn't sit there and say, "Okay, just my elbow, Lord. I just the weakness in my legs." No, She didn't get a choice. The Lord healed the whole thing. The Lord wants to heal every part of you. He wants that sin gone. He wants you to lay those things aside. And we see in here, not only was she healed, but she got all this strength back. It's hard to get your strength back after you get sick, isn't it? Depending on what got you. I think about many of you that have dealt with that, with coronavirus. Takes the wind right out of your sails, don't it? Some of you got different ailments and hurts and wounds, and it takes it out of you. She got not only her healing, but she got her strength back. Some of us, that's what we need. We need some spiritual muscle put back on us. We were saying no to stuff. Now we're not saying no to stuff. We were serving the Lord in this, that, or the other. And granted, many have physical restrictions, but some don't have physical restrictions, but we're acting like we do. Some can go into different areas and in different situations, give the gospel, invite someone to church, take a stand for what's right, and we just lack the strength. Well, it's a good thing for us that all we need to do is go to the Lord and ask. Am I right? That's all we need to do. But again, what is it? No. I like that weakness. It allows me to not have to do anything. That's wrong. It's wrong. What we must do is when the Lord comes into the house, let Him heal whatever He deems fit to heal. We lay everything out. Lord, I want You to fix this bitterness in my heart. Lord, I'd like to fix this unforgiveness I've been hanging on to. Lord, I know that I sure do enjoy being mean in this situation. I pray You heal my heart that way, that I won't do that no more. And again, what's our request? Our request isn't, Lord, help me to wake up tomorrow without having to do any work and just be better. No, there's that progressive sanctification, right? You got to work at it. You've got to. Lord will give you all the strength. Lord will give you all the wisdom. Lord will give you all the encouragement that you need. But you still have to work those hands, those lips, and those legs to get it done. Because there's no scenario where you're going to wake up and all your problems are solved and you're not bitter anymore and you're not angry anymore and all that's gone. You've got to forgive. That's a decision you've got to make. You've got to pick up, find the sin where it is, and throw it out. Well, we talk about throw my sin out. I mean, you've got to go to the thing that you're sinning with and you've got to throw it out. Do you know how much I spent on that? Lord, don't care. And guess what? Neither do I. You got to get it out. Right? You think about anybody working on their weight, and I know that I'm just getting back to it, but when you're working on it, what do you got to do? Do you keep sit there and go, well, I spent all this money on Oreos. I better leave them there. You better get them out of the house. That's what we would do, right? Amen. That's what we would do. Hey, I've got rats in the barn. Well, what do? Do you sit there and you wait for the rats to leave? You throw an exterminator in there. You get rid of the rats. You find out how they got in. You board it up. Same thing must be done with our sin. Lord, forgive me. And then when the forgiveness is there, give me strength to catch every single last one of these rats and get them out. And Lord, let me go to all the little areas where the rats are coming in and board them out. That ought to be our desire. That ought to be what we're excited to do. Lord, I'd love for the Lord to give me some advice and for me to go and do it and to take care of it. Well, we got a book full of advice. Let Him have it. Don't just love Him for the things you want Him to do. Love Him for the things He wants to do and the difference He wants to make in your life. Let Him in. I think one of the hardest things that we have when it comes down to giving ourselves over that way is we don't like the shame associated with things. We don't like the idea that the Lord would be able to see what it is that we've got going on. I stumbled across another episode of Hoarders. You ever see that stuff? Don't watch that. That's a horrifying show. You'll stay up half the night. And I tell you what, this lady, she didn't want the talk about mice again. She had a mouse problem in her house. She didn't want the mouse. She didn't want the mice in her house, but she didn't want them hurt. So there's this scene where she's sitting there with crackers, feeding the mice, talking about how she wants them to go away. And when her family came to see, she put up a little bit of a struggle to let them in. Why? Because even though they were here to solve the problem, she didn't want them to see the problem. If you want the Lord to help you solve your problem, you got to stop pretending he doesn't know it's there. You got to stop pretending he doesn't know it's already there. Yeah, but if I come forward and I repent of this sin, what will people think of me? I don't know about you. I know I'm still new on earth compared to some of you. But every time I see somebody walk the aisle and ask for forgiveness and ask for help, I've always rejoiced. All right, that's two sermons, one service for me. I'm excited. I can think of no better way to end a service than have somebody get right with the Lord. And that might, I tell you what, that might even start a chain reaction. Praise the Lord for you. And I tell you what, Lord, give me the strength to do that. You might find yourself right then and there with strength to do it. And there you are on your knees. We gotta stop pretending that, like, this whole shame thing. Well, if ever I have to admit it, that means people will know it's there. Yeah, and then you get rid of it, and guess what? It's not there anymore. The point is not what people think about you. The point is, what does the Lord know about you? Memories are short, right? But when it comes down to the Lord, I'd rather his grace and mercy and his healing in a situation than for me to carry on with it. Me to carry on with it. Went out, I bought the water softener salt for our house, and I walked all over the store. Brother, I walked all over the store. I saw the Rogers there. Walked all over the store looking for that stuff. Guess what? You go into Menards, you can't find it out in the store part. You find it by the front thing. And I came over and I grabbed myself a big old bag, because who needs a cart, right? Threw it on my back, walked over to the cashier. Cashier and the person who's up before me, they got to talking a little bit. And I'm like, all right, this is a little heavy, but if it's a short conversation, I'll be okay. Guy went to go pay for a check, pay with a check. I go, okay. She asked to see his ID. He goes, well, you should only need, he goes, what do you need my ID for? You only need your ID for voting, right? And I took the bag and I set it down. Because I knew this was going to be a conversation and a half between him and her, and it was. And they laughed and they joked and they had joy. And I was so glad that that conveyor belt was sitting right there. I could lay it down and not have to hang on to it while they sat there and, for lack of a better phrase, fellowshipped. All right, so if you go down there and there's this lady with blue glasses, wish her a happy birthday next week. We know everything about her now. I kid you not, next Friday is her birthday. She's got to go and she's got to get. Anyway, I set it down. It felt so good. Because sometimes, maybe it's just us men, we psych ourselves out like that. 50 pounds, I got that. We put it back down. That's your sin. Do you really think you're fooling anybody thinking you're tough enough to bear what it is your sin is costing you? You really think that anybody's impressed by that? Lord, that preacher's been preaching on this sin for X amount of years, and I ain't confessing tonight. You're hurting yourself. Because that weight's going to stop you from doing a lot of things. It's going to cause bitterness between you and the church because you're always hiding it. Yeah. Remember when your kids turned into teenagers, and all of a sudden they got sullen? You want to know why teenagers get that way? Because that's the age you start hiding stuff. And that's why they stopped liking mom and dad, because it's a cat and mouse game to hide everything from mom and dad, right? That boyfriend's number, that girl's number, this rock album, that. We turn into the Lord. We turn into that with the Lord. We turn into that with the church. We stop serving the way we're supposed to. We stop doing the things that we're supposed to. Why? Because we only want a partial healing. We still want to hang on to stuff. You need to be bold enough to let the Lord deal with what's there. We also need to be bold enough to let the Lord have a say in what's there. To have a say in it. Well, now, wait a minute. I've got autonomy. I'm a grown person. I always hear this, for whatever reason, us adults, we like to tell people how old we are, as though trips around the sun gives us more authority. I am 38 years old. I'm not. I am that's how old I am. 48 years old. I'm 58 years old. To say what? My way. Your way versus the Lord's way. We'll see how that goes. Want to know? I'll tell you. Let them have a say. Well, I know that's what they, I know that's what they're preaching on. I know that's what the Bible kind of says, but I'm going to hang on to it. You're making a mistake. You let the Lord have a say. And nowadays you get some of these arrogant little preacherettes, and they get all full of themselves. And, well, I don't need a pastor this, I don't need a pastor that. You're not rejecting the pastor. The pastor's preaching the Word of God. Who you're rejecting is the Word of God. That's it. You're rejecting the Lord. We need to let Him have a say. Well, why would I go to my pastor for advice on what kind of career I'm going to have? Why would I go to my pastor for advice on my retirement? Why would I go to my pastor on advice for what to do in my marriage? Because we're going to go right here with it. And that's what you need. Not to let someone like me have a say in it, but to let the Lord have a say in what's going on with your future and your present. And even how to handle your past. We need to let the Lord have a say in what's going on in our lives. Don't be satisfied with just the remedial healing, but let Him go as far as He wishes to go. And I tell you what, for this household, it was never the same. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine, wives, just for a second, your husband coming home with the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ in tow? And your mom's sick and you're really not interested in having people over. I don't think I've ever done that to you where I've just showed up with people. Right? Showed up with a bunch of people. And before you know it, the whole town and many other people in the town have come over. They're sick people, demon-possessed people. Your mom's walking around feeding people. Right? It's nuts. That house was never the same. They saw some amazing things. And in the heart of this disciple, could you even imagine what that was like? Every day as he followed Him. Every day as he walked after his master. And just the effect that what we have seen in serving the Lord should have on us. It should have left a mark. One that makes us want to follow. One that makes us want to give Him anything. Lord, You want me to not have this? Absolutely. You want this corner cleaned up? It's Yours, Lord. It's Yours. None of that belongs in my heart. It all belongs to You. We need lives that are as changed just as much as we pray that our bodies would be. Our spirits need to be just as strong as we hope that our bodies would be. We need to be able to follow the Lord in light of that. Let's not be selfish. Let's not hold back on things. Let's allow the Lord, and He's going to anyway. He's going to. Me fighting the Lord is just as silly as a notion as the conversation of Gideon fighting me. Eventually, we're going to do it. May take 3 or 4 spankings, but we're going to get there. Right? That was it. That's the way it was with my parents. You see parents nowadays, I don't want to go. Well, all right, Tommy, if that's what you, all right, we understand. Here, we're going to stay home. I'll call mommy. I'll call so-and-so. We'll stay home. That permissive parenting. God is not a permissive parent. He is a get your shoes on or I'll throw you in the car without them kind of a God. He's not one you can sit there and debate with. I love those stories. Well, I fought God and I fought God through the decades. And finally, I gave in and let Him win. Okay. That's not the God I know. He might wear you out for the sake of wearing you out, but you didn't battle Him. You didn't battle Him. I distinctly remember when, in one particular time, my brother and I, my brother and I on our own could be difficult in the store. You put us together, and I tell you what, someone should have taken my mom out for a parade or something. Because I distinctly remember one time, my mom grabbing me up by the midsection, holding me football style, grabbing my brother by the seat of his pants and his shirt and carrying us both out of a store. Now, my brother was screaming and crying, and I was looking over at him going, wow, this is wild. This is crazy. Sometimes God has to do that to us. But don't you feel foolish when that's the case with all of our ears tucked up behind us. We should feel foolish that way. I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I'm doing that anyway. Almost like we're waiting for the Lord to grab us up by the shirt and drag us. As almost we're waiting for the Lord to spank us first before we do anything. Let's not be obstinate. Never want just a little healing. Lord, don't just heal my body. Lord, reach in. Convict me of sin. Give me the energy to change it. Give me the conviction to keep going when I don't feel like doing it. And again, we look at a world today. You know, they're happy to have a form of godliness, right? As the verse says, having a form of godliness, they're happy with it. You know, it breaks my heart. You see, again, you see these churches out there. They've come on in on Sunday. We've got five services for you to pick from. There's the early bird. There's the later one. And all the funny different names they've got for them. You got your bounce house over here in the front auditorium. Your coffee shop over here. We've got our Nintendo system of Sunday schools over here. You guys can come on in and drop your kids off, and they'll play some video games for a while. We got the bowling alley over here, snack shop over there, and then we've got the praise and worship bands going on for the next 45 minutes to hour and a half. And then for about 15 minutes, we're going to have our one of our many pastors come up and give a little 15-minute word of encouragement to us. They've got them out there. They're happy with a form of godliness. Whisper his name in a song, but that, I don't want anything else. Give me a place to call myself a Christian, but don't actually require anything of me. No. How many times do we read in Scripture where the Lord would save some, but then there'd be one where in particular where we see for sure that they were saved? That's what I want. I wouldn't want to be one of the lepers that were just healed. I want to be the leper that was made entirely whole. And when the Lord saved each and every one of us, that was the goal. To not just fix whatever's wrong with us on the outside, but to fix what's wrong with us on the inside. Now, sadly, that doesn't all clear up in one day. Wouldn't that be nice? We could probably retire. If that's, Lord made you perfect at salvation. We wouldn't much need for pastors other than to sit around and encourage folks with the word. But that's not who we are. When the Lord saves you, he doesn't take your sin nature away. So it's a consistent battle. Lord, I failed again. Please forgive me. But Lord, can we stop and take a minute to look at the plan, because I'm messing up here. Lord, this is the third time I've come to you. I really need you to guide me through how to fix this. Pastor, I've fallen into the same sin time and time again. What verses do you got? What plan do you have? What can you do so I don't do this again? Open all the doors. Open it up. While you're at it, open the windows. Let that stink blow out. Get rid of all of the things that would tempt you, all of the things that would drag you back into sin. Let it go. Why? Because I don't want to be just healed. I want to be whole, through and through, all the way. On this night, there are many a person who maybe could have never, maybe who couldn't see, who left with sight. There's many a person who maybe could not walk very well, but could run away. Perhaps people with a weakness, a fluttering heart, this problem, that problem, and they went home and they were fine. But of all the ailments, of all the things we would ever want the Lord to address in us, it ought to be a lost estate. And after the Lord saves you, if I'm going to walk away from the Lord, I want to walk away whole. All my sins laid bare, all the help I need. I don't want to have pet sins. I don't want to have issues like that laying around. Projects that I'm always putting off, and those projects being the things of our lives that need to change. Or how about this one? The one days. One day I'm going to get right with this whole giving the gospel to folks. One day, I'm going to see that the church needs something. I'm going to go there and I'm going to do it. Now, I'm not you guys are great. I don't want anybody, he doesn't appreciate it. No, I do. I do. But we got to ask ourselves, is there anything we're holding back? Just because things are great does not mean they can't be better. If I'm holding anything back, the church, I owe that to the church, but first and foremost, I owe that to the Lord. Am I right? We are all in that lot as church members. So let me give. Let me be made whole. Right? Let me seek forgiveness, not just forgiveness, but deliverance from these sins and strength to battle them out of my life and keep them out of my life. That's what we ought to want. Let's not just be happy when he takes away the things we don't want and we can keep the things he doesn't want us to have. Let's only be happy, only be satisfied when he has his full and complete way and will in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it is. Your watch care over us. You'll heal us when we're sick. You'll give us grace when we've got to bear the illness. Lord, whether there be storms of financial, family, or societal issues, Lord, we know that you can either calm them or calm us through them. But Lord, help us not to be stingy in our lives. Help us to hand over the sin. Help us to repent of them completely. Help us, Lord, to do right by you in our service. That, Lord, we would not just be happy for the good things that you do for us, but, Lord, be happy and satisfied to let you do whatever you want in our lives. Lord, we owe that to you. You're so good to us. And, Lord, there's nothing that we want that you tell us that we shouldn't have that's any good for us. We're like dogs that just got in the trash can sometimes, Father. Lord, thank you for your protection. Thank you for taking things away from us that are bad for us. Lord, help us to love you and respect you in a way that holds you back from nothing. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.